Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you for being here today. We are starting a brand new series called Proverbs. And the goal for this series is that all of us would read a proverb a day. So yesterday was July 1st, so you would have read Proverbs 1. Now, good thing is that we're only in day 2, so you can catch up today and read 2 Proverbs today. We're going to read Proverbs 2 today, and the cool thing about it is that each Sunday that we meet, we'll be talking about that proverb. So again, today is July 2nd, so we're going to be talking about Proverbs 2, and so you can get your Bibles out if you have it. It's cool, as I was studying this book, there's a lot of cool, interesting things about it. One of the things is that Proverbs is a wisdom book, okay? So there's wisdom to be gained through this book. And so if you think you are wise, then you should read this book and maybe you'll get some wisdom up on top of what you have. And so the cool thing, what I've learned is that it's a father talking to his son. And one of the things that a commentator, a theologian said is that he was speaking to his son and he's telling him what to do and why to do it. And I started feeling convicted because when I tell Cruz or Camila or somebody, and I'm like, hey, don't do that. Most of the time or sometimes, you know, you say, they ask why. And you're like, well, because I said so, or well, because it's not good for you. And we forget to tell them why it is good for them. Why not to do something is good for them. You know, when you're talking to students, right, and you tell them, hey, don't drink. Why? Because it's not good for you. Well, what if we said, do not drink because it will help you be sober-minded. It will keep you wise. It will keep you from making terrible decisions, right? There's a way we can teach our kids, and I feel that the Lord was teaching me, like, hey, what if we taught people the good things about why not to do things, right? Or do the things that you should do because they're good for you. And so one of the things that we will see is this father talking to his son and why he should listen to him, why he should receive what he is saying. And so we're going to be in Proverbs 2, verse 1 through 4, and it says this: my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as forbidden treasure. The father is telling his son, what is he telling his son? He's receive his words, treasure his commandments, be attentive to wisdom, incline his heart to understanding, call out for insight, seek and search for wisdom. Notice how the father is teaching his son. He's not demanding, he's not forcing. He's not saying, hey, son, do these things, or you should do these things. He's saying, if you will. If you will. And it's a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus did while he was on earth. He said, if you listen to me, if you receive my words, if you receive me, then you'll have everlasting life. If you receive me and my words, then you will know the truth. You have seen the Father. So you see how the Father is telling his son, if you. So it's all upon the son to take action. He's not forcing him. And maybe we as a church have failed and said, hey, to our kids, to anybody who comes, you shouldn't do. But if you receive these words of God, if you read the word of God, then what? Then you will receive wisdom. Maybe we have been teaching it the wrong way and have to be reminded to teach it the right way to those who are far off from Christ, who don't even seek God, who don't even believe in a God. If we just say, if you read his word, man, you will receive insight. if you will just listen to what God has to say, then you will have wisdom and understanding. You see, he doesn't demand or force his son to listen to him. He just guides him. He shares his wisdom, and he gives him the opportunity to receive what he is saying. I heard this saying a lot. You attract a lot of flies with what? Honey, not... Yeah, see, I don't know the saying, so I just had to ask you guys. If you sounds so sweet, instead of you should or you ought to, if you. Now, if the son does these things, then what does he receive? Then you will receive the, then you, in verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is the promise the father is telling his son, if he will listen, if he will seek, if he will search, if he will call out for insight, if he will raise his voice, if he will be attentive to wisdom, if he will treasure his commands, if he will receive his word. This is what is the promise, that he would know the words of his father, that he would follow and treasure the commands, right? That he would understand the fear of the Lord. Understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What if we taught our friends? What if we taught our kids? What if we taught those who don't know God? If you will just listen to the words of God, then you will understand the knowledge of God. Then you will have the fear of the Lord in your heart. Now, this fear is not a fear of like, I am scared of getting, it's a fear of awe and reverence, of being amazed that God, the God of the universe, will reveal his wisdom, that the God of the universe would see us humans as valuable, as precious, and call us sons and daughters. Let us be a people who fear the Lord, for then we will have the knowledge, we will find the knowledge of God. If we fear the Lord, then we receive his words. There are things in this book these authors have written to teach us, to teach those they were written to, and to share the love of God, and also the wrath of God, the mercy of God, and the judgment of God. They're inseparable. They cannot be separated. They are together, and both of them together are holy and good. And so if we fear the Lord, we honor what he says. We're in awe of how he has sent his son Jesus to save us, to redeem us, to reconcile us to the Father. Now, reconciliation means that we are to be transformed and we are going to be sanctified as we walk closer, as we walk with the Lord. But we can't walk with the Lord if we don't have fear of the Lord. We have to know his commandments, know his will. And in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, Jesus is telling this person that asked him the question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." If we have fear of the Lord, we will love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we will love our neighbor as ourselves. And that means we forgive. That means we serve. That means we put ourselves last. We have to be reminded, and I know I do, when I serve Morgan, it's not, I don't do things so that she would do things for me. We had an anniversary this past Wednesday, and it was awesome. And, I did it because I loved her. I wasn't expecting anything from her. And there are things that we have to understand is that we do things for God because we love God, not to get something from Him. And I follow a lot of preachers and churches, and one of the things that I got caught up in is that we would share the gospel, and then if you follow, like, giving, this is one of the examples. If you give, God will bless you. And we assume that the blessing will be more money, more things. And I got caught up in that. And one time, there was this person struggling with homelessness. And I drove by, and he wanted food. And I was like, all right, I'll get you food. I got Zaxby's. I stayed right there. I got him. I was like, hey, man, here you go. And I said, hey, can I pray for you? He's like, yeah, man. And so it was like, okay, I did something good, right? And then he said, hey, can I pray for you? And in that moment, I just started crying. Because here's a person that doesn't have anything. Doesn't have a home. Might not have family. Here's a person who doesn't have what I have. A house, a wife, two kids, clothes, a few pairs of shoes. Praying for me. That's the gospel. That we could go into anywhere and say, God loves you. And because of that, He saves you. It's not about getting something from God. It's about God giving you everything He has. And this father is telling his son, hey, if you do these things, you will understand the fear of the Lord. And I pray that us as a church and us as the Big C Church would remember to fear the Lord. That when we speak the gospel, it's not about getting a blessing. It's about giving praise to the one who gave everything for us. Who gave us salvation through His Son, Jesus. Let us be a people who fear the Lord and have His commandments. So when we see somebody, we speak good news. We speak reconciliation. We speak something of restoration and sanctification. And we walk with them and we love them and we talk with them. And we invite them into our homes. Just like God invited us into His home. Let us be a people who fear the Lord. For when we do this, we will see, like in Proverbs 2 through 6, 6 through 8 says this, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the path of justice, and watching over the ways of His saints. The son will receive the wisdom, knowing that from the Lord's mouth comes knowledge and understanding. If we have questions, if we need answers, if we need understanding, then we go to the only one that can answer those questions. Why is this happening? Go to God. For out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I was driving by And there's this church that wrote that said, ask God, not Siri, or ask God, not Alexa. You know, it's kind of funny. I was like, yeah, that's clever. And I was like, that's, you know, that's true, right? What we do when we ask, we don't seek the word, we seek Google. You see, you will receive, the Son will receive wisdom, knowing that the Lord stores up wisdom for the righteous. That the Lord stores up wisdom for the righteous. That He is a shield to those who walk integrity. He guards the path of justice. He watches over the ways of the saint. Notice what the Father says He will give or receive, what the Son receives. Verses 9 through 11. Then you, right, if you do these things, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, and discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you. Did you see what the Son did not receive? Fame, success, wealth, good health, material assets, power, authority, status. And yet we hear the lies. And we do the same thing that our Jewish brothers and sisters, oh, what? Who sinned first, right? We worried about that last week. The father or this son? The parents or this kid? He did not receive these things. But he did receive what? Understanding of righteousness, justice, and equity. That though things might not be the way they should be right now, but he will have understanding of what is right, what is just. Though things are not what they should be right now, but he will have wisdom come into his heart. Though things are not what they should be right now, but he will have knowledge that will be pleasant to his soul. Though things might not be the way they should be, he will have discretion watch over him. Though things aren't what I want them to be or what I think they should be, he will have understanding to guard him. In this world, we see things that pull us into a certain way, right? We want the shoes. I'm convicted of that, all right? I've mentioned it multiple times. There are times where it's like, hey, I have enough pair of shoes that I don't need any more. My house is beautiful. God has blessed me with an awesome house. I don't need anything more to add to my house. But guess what we see on commercials and on radios? Hey, check out these new and latest and greatest shoes. You need them if you don't have them. Hey, guess what? Your house, you need to upgrade. Get that pool. I'm telling you, it's the best investment you'll ever make. And it also happens with relationships, where we see the family being torn apart, where we see friendships not lasting. Hey, go to that promotion and leave everything behind, or take this money and find happiness. The Father doesn't say he will have success or fame or wealth, but he will have an understanding of what is right and what is just. Again, the Father is not telling him to do this or forcing him. He's just simply suggesting, if you will, if you will, if you will desire, if you will seek, if you will call out, if you will search, if you will treasure, if you will receive, if you will be attentive, if you will incline your ear, if you will be a person who fears the Lord. And if you are a person who fears the Lord, then you will be a person with wisdom in your heart. Let us be people who fear the Lord. And when we fear the Lord, we will have wisdom in our hearts. And how to handle death. And how to handle tough conversations. And how to handle betrayal. And how to show compassion and kindness and mercy and goodness to those around us. And how to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not to say, hey, you should, but if you will, if you will, you will see with your eyes. If you will, you will hear with your ears. And you will receive a gift that is immeasurable. Let us be a people with wisdom in our hearts. For if we are a people who fear the Lord and have wisdom in our hearts, then Jesus is enough. Through any circumstance, through any valley, in any storm, Jesus is enough. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know who's betrayed you or hurt you or said something mean about you. But here's the gospel. Jesus forgave you of your sin, and we are called to forgive those who sin against us. We are called to reconcile with those who have hurt us, because God did that for us. And I pray that we would come to church not to mark a check off a box. Hey, I did it. I did my good thing this week. I went to church. We're good. Right? All right, cool. Make sure I get the first best parking spot. Make sure my kids sleep through the night. Make sure, you know, I get that promotion. No, it's not a checkbox. It's coming here and saying, God, you are enough. If nothing goes right the rest of this week, you are enough. If nothing goes the way I think it should, you are enough. You are good. You are holy. You are just. You are righteous. Anything that happens in my life, you are enough. That is the fear of the Lord. It's saying, God, you are enough. And it's easy when life is easy to say this. I know. I have had to learn this myself. And I continue to learn it. Jesus, you are enough. Through it all, you are good. So let us be a people with wisdom in our hearts, knowing that Jesus is enough. There's this parable in the New Testament. I didn't have this in my notes, so sorry if you're not going to see it up there. But it's called the Prodigal Son. I think y'all have heard of it, right? There's two sons, and one of them, right, he wants all the money from his dad. He said, hey, yo, pops, I see that you're very rich and wealthy, and I know I get an inheritance, so please just give me anything and everything that belongs to me, and I'm out, right? And so he goes and he does his thing. And then there's another son, the oldest son. He gets more because back in that time, the eldest son got a little bit more. I think it was like 60-40. I'm not really 100% sure. You can study that on your own. And he says, hey, I'm staying here. I'm staying put. And I was reading a book called Prodigal God, and Tim Keller wrote this, and it was very fascinating what he said about this, these two sons. and how he shared what Jesus was really doing through this parable. You see, you had the eldest sons, so the Pharisees, I'm sure some of you already know this, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious people. Then you had the youngest son, and these are, representing all the people that have run away from God, or the Gentiles, if you want to say that. And it's fascinating that the youngest son, he comes back, right? He's like, hey, I'm going to repent. I don't even deserve to be a son of yours anymore. And just let me be a worker, right? And the father goes running to him. You know the story. He hugs him, gives him the best robe. Basically, I did not know this, but when he put the robe on and the ring on, he basically restored everything for the son, which means that the son would now get another inheritance. So everything that he blew off, the son now gets whatever's left over. He gets a share of that inheritance. So the older son comes back. He sees what's going on. He's like, hey, look, what's going on? You know this. And he says, oh, your brother came back. So your dad, killed a calf, which back in the day, you didn't eat meat all the time. So it was a special occasion that would last a long time, right? And so you would have a lot of people there. And, the oldest son says, hey, what? You just restored everything. So he's now realizing that his inheritance just got a little bit shorter again because his father restored his brother. And so he's like, I'm not going in. He's being defiant of the father. And the father has to go out and say, hey, son, come in. He's like, no, I didn't leave you, and yet you never gave me a calf or celebrated me, right? And what was interesting about this story is that both sons rejected the father. Both sons had selfish ambitions of what the father could do for them. One just had the guts to say it out loud. The other was just waiting his time. And what was shocking that these people would have heard Jesus say this is that those who stood by the father, right, the oldest son, were the ones who followed the rules, who did everything right, who went to worship, who did sacrifices, who were respectful, right? They did everything right, and yet they were lost. And the scary part is that they didn't know they were lost. And for some people that go to church, that do all the right things, they're expecting one thing from God and are blinded by the gift of God. You see, the oldest son expected his father to reject his son and didn't see the gift of the father receiving the son and didn't see the gift that he was receiving him back even in his own rejection of the father. We can come to church, we can play church, but if we don't have the fear of the Lord and if we don't have wisdom in our hearts, we will be rejected. Not by God, but by our own selves. Because we had an expectation of who God was and didn't see Him for who He really is. Good, merciful, just, righteous, loving, compassionate. That is a God we serve. That is a God who saved and redeemed us through Jesus. And as we see the Father telling, if you will, we all had these questions, right? We had this series last week or last month and talked about I doubt it, right? We had questions that we wanted answered, why things happen and why evil is still in this world. And yet, God gives us wisdom and gave us Jesus to remind us that he is in control, that all is not lost, and that the kingdom of heaven is here now. We, as followers of Jesus, are to bring this kingdom to this world, to our community, to our neighbors, to our sons and our daughters, and speak this wisdom that Jesus saves, that Jesus is good, that Jesus is worthy, that Jesus rose from the grave, and he will come back again. And so the Father tells him, hey, if you do these things, you'll have this fear of the Lord, and you'll have this, you'll know that there's knowledge in God's mouth, right? And so here's what he is protecting, what this wisdom will protect him from. Verses 12 through 15 says, speaks first of the speech of perverted men. It says this, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of righteousness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. We must see this as a gift. If we fear the Lord, if we receive the commandments to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves, if we are to receive these things and walk by these things, then we will know who is righteous and who is not. We will have wisdom to understand who is for me and who is against me. Proverbs 16 through 19 talks about the smooth words of the woman. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of God, of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to be departed. None go to her and come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. There are two temptations in our world that this father is telling his son. And he's like, hey, there's going to be men who are going to try to take you off the path of righteousness. They're going to be acting like buddies, and they're going to say, hey, this is fun to do. Let's go do it. And they try to make you forget who your God is and what is right and what is just and what is honorable. What is merciful? What is compassion? What is kindness? And what is gentle? And for us, man, this just came to me. I'm just going to talk to us men, is that we have to act tough. We're told in this world, you're not a man if you aren't strong. You're not a man if you cry. You're not a man if you're gentle. But I'm reminded of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, peace, gentleness, kindness. We are called to be gentle to our kids, to our wives, to our friends. We are called to be compassionate. And that's all of us, not just men. I just kind of felt that way right now. Just I don't know why. But for all of us, we are called to be gentle and compassionate, to show mercy and kindness. Let us be a people who walk with the Lord. Proverbs 20 through 22 says this, so you will walk in the ways of the good and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Let us be a people who walk with the Lord. This commentary said this. It says, there are no set of rules to tell us what to do in verses 1 through 4. It's all about desire for God. If you seek me, you will find me for all that I am worth. Now, this father was talking to his son. Solomon was writing this to his son, and we can see that maybe for us, God is speaking to us and saying, hey, my sons and daughters, if you will receive the gospel, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will have forgiveness of your sins. You will be reconciled. You see, it's a gift. Wisdom is a gift from God. You don't earn that wisdom. You seek it and you search for it, but the gift is received. And it's the same with salvation. It's the same with Jesus. You receive Jesus. He's a gift. He's a Savior. We don't earn it. We receive it. And if we are a people who walk with the Lord, we will understand how good God is, even in his wrath and judgment. For if we are a people who fear the Lord, then we will be a people who have wisdom in our hearts that walk with the Lord. People don't earn wisdom by their own activity, for they are recipients of what God graciously gives. Seeking wisdom involves hard work, but it's not achieved by hard work alone. Since the beginning, God graciously gives. We don't earn. He graciously gives us wisdom and salvation. I pray that as you read these Proverbs, it's not a checklist. Oh, yeah, I got it done. As you come to church, it's not a checklist. Yep, got it done. I went 2 out of 4 Sundays. I'm good. I used to go 1. Oh, that you would be... I wrote this down, and I don't know if I have it still. Hold on, let me see. I said, we all enter the church with a secret sin or sins. We all enter the church seeking truth, hoping to find peace, hoping to find joy, hoping to find happiness. Now, you can leave church 1 or 2 ways. We can enter the church and we have a choice to acknowledge our sin and repent, or we can acknowledge no sin and not repent and leave offended. You can leave with hope and joy and peace, acknowledging your sin and repenting of your sins and acknowledging that God is so good that he would forgive us, or you could leave the church offended. And for some of us, we leave offended because we don't hear the good news. And for those outside the church, they're leaving offended because maybe we're not preaching the good news to them. That God reconciled us, and that in that we are being transformed. That we continue to learn about who God is and continue to repent and continue to be sanctified in Christ Jesus. So let us be a people who fear the Lord with wisdom in our hearts that walk with the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. God, I just thank you for teaching us, teaching me that you are good, that we are unworthy, and yet you say through Jesus, we are worthy. God, I just pray for those who are seeking you to continue to seek you. Pray for those who have stopped seeking you that they would be willing to receive your truth and return to you. God, may we be a church that knows you are enough in any circumstance, that you are good and that you are holy and you are just. So we thank you for this time together. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said,
amen. Thanks, Gerardo. So I have to tell you that I've been challenged by our current Bible reading plan. We're basically reading through the New Testament in 92 days, and it's a lot. And a few times I've actually caught myself reading to just read without giving any thought or understanding to what I'm reading. In fact, it's interesting, Gerardo used the phrase checking off the box, and I think that's what I've been doing a lot this week. Anyway, that's not a good way to read the Bible. And when I realized what was happening, I've tried to hit the pause button and reset and start over to make sure that I'm giving the Holy Spirit an opportunity to talk about what I'm reading as well. Anyway, that happened this week, and we were reading through Romans, which I find a very challenging book anyway, and I was rushing through it, reading to read, checking off the box, and I realized that I needed to circle back and look at it again and let God talk to me about it. And it didn't take long to find the answer that I was looking for. It came in Romans 14. So, you know, at the most basic level, we celebrate communion each week to remember that Christ died for us on the cross. But there's so much more to that story. And in Romans 14, 5, 6, it tells us, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then a bit further down in verse 13, we find this: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So this is why we celebrate communion. It's not just because of what God did for us on the cross, which is in itself, like I said, that's enough, but there's so much more to appreciate. Our God has authored this incredible story for us. It's a story that gives us hope and encouragement, and when we come together at the communion table, we're speaking with one mind and one voice, and that's us as believers here in this church. That's also us as believers all across the world when we're at the communion table. And we're doing it all for the glory of God. Anyway, because of his story, because of this wonderful story, because we confess our faith in Christ, we have this incredible hope in our lives. It's an incredible hope. And it's a hope that should give each and every one of us, it should give us true joy, it should give us peace, and it should give us encouragement, even in this very uncertain world that we live in. So this morning, as we remember Christ's death, please take a moment to reflect on all the blessings that he gives us and the blessings that we enjoy because of what he did on the cross. Appreciate that hope, appreciate that joy, appreciate that peace that comes into our lives when we put our faith in Christ. Let's pray. Excuse me. Dear Lord, thank you for who you are and what you did and what you do for us. Lord, I just pray that each one of us here today, I just pray that we can experience the many blessings that you offer, especially, God, the peace, the joy, the hope that seems so elusive in today's world. Lord, it's such a comfort to know that you cared for us from the very beginning of time as we know it. It's my prayer, Lord, that we as individuals and as a body of believers will always be of one mind and one voice when it comes to you and what you did for us. Help us, Lord, to avoid the distractions and disagreements that separate us from you and your will. And then, Lord, as we prepare to take communion right now, just please forgive our sins and trespasses. Help us to rely on your Holy Spirit to guide and lead us in ways that are pleasing to you. In all things, we ask for your blessings and your will be done. Amen. Our communion, guys, is down here on these tables up front. We also have a couple of tables in the back. Please come forward and take it. If you're ready to give your life to Christ today, Gerardo will be over here. I'll be over here. We would love to talk with you about that. If you need prayer, we've got the benches over here, or again, Gerardo and I would be glad to pray with you.